The Shaggy Jenkins Show.
We have to make Russia great again.
On the Pacifica Radio Network.
It's the Shaggy Jenkins Show on the Pacifica Radio Network. Welcome to another fun-filled, exciting, oh, who the hell am I kidding? We're watching the country go to hell in a handbasket faster than Shaq gets endorsement deals. Oh, speaking of, we'll be talking about Shaq today. Michael Avenatti, Nike, and Mark Garagos. Believe it or not, it's not an athletic deal that we're covering. Plus, we'll cover a little bit about Mueller's aftermath and Trump claiming victory laps when really, truly, it's not time for a lap. Before we get to all of that, brief introductions are in line. Hi, welcome to my show. My name is Shaggy Jenkins. I'm a critical thinker, problem solver, guy just left of normal insane, and, well, positively found at ShaggyJenkins.com or wherever fine social media serve at Shaggy Live. Joining me today from California, where she is not so much dreaming as she's coming out of the closet today. Please welcome from the show, Honey's Closet. You can find them on the Power of Voices Radio Network. Please welcome Honey herself, Val Young.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
I tell you, this is going to be a fun show. One, because I have to say this, Ron is on break this week because he had a mental one.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, this show, it does terrible, terrible things to correspondents. So, Val, welcome to the Terror Dome.
Thank you, Ron. I'm sorry, but then I'm happy. So, get it together, and we'll see you maybe next Monday.
Yeah, because he's one of these guys that loves following kind of crazy things. And one of the craziest things that Ron follows is entertainment world. Now, he does movies. He talks about all kinds of television shows and stuff on his show. And when he comes here, we kind of talk about how pop culture and politics and everything intersect with each other. This week, it's kind of weird because I want to start off a political story that's actually about a public figure and has a lot to do with entertainment. I'm going to give you two words, Val, and I want your honest to God reaction. Those two words are Papa John's. Go.
Hated it. Not a fan of it. I do not eat it, and I'm not happy with who is now the new sponsor of Papa John's Pizza, or the public faced, or whatever you want to call them. Yeah.
Yeah, because as long as we're talking about public faces, no face has been more public in the past than one Shaquille O'Neal. Now, I didn't know this, but everybody calls LeBron James King James for obvious reasons, but did you know Shaq is also royalty? He's called the King of Endorsement.
Yeah. Now, I've heard that, Shaggy, but can you give me 5 top endorsements he does?
Oh, that's easy. Gold Bond Medicated Powder, the General Auto Insurance. Now we can add Papa John's to the list, and he's also done stuff for, let me see if I remember this correctly, Big Box Store, Circuit City in the past, and then he did a Best Buy one a couple of years ago. There's actually a lot that Shaq does, but really the ones that are most annoying to me are those Gold Bond ones.
Yeah, I hate those commercials. I hate them. Sorry, Shaq, but I hate them.
You know, the thing is, though, this is one of the things I've always said about celebrities like Shaq. He is of the vein of entertainers of William Shatner-esque quality. And let me explain why I say that. William Shatner, a long time ago, realized nobody likes William Shatner. Everybody likes making fun of William Shatner, so why not get a big old fat paycheck and join in making fun of himself? Now, I've seen William Shatner perform live, drunk off of his ass, here in Lahaina, Maui, and it was hilarious because the entire time he was there, people were like, "Oh, Mr. Shatner, I'm so glad to meet you," and he's like, "I'm a loser. Get out of here. More wine." You know what I mean?
No way.
Yeah.
Is he really?
Yes. But he is somebody that is actually very comfortable, believe it or not, with poking jokes at himself. Now, he doesn't like it when other people poke jokes at him, but he has made, at least over the last 2 decades, so much money off of making fun of the brand that he originally established. And when it comes to Shaquille O'Neal, I mean, We just covered this before the show, and if you were watching on our social feeds, hey, welcome to the actual show, where we're not talking smack about everybody anymore. But here on the actual show, I thought I would bring up this. You never saw Uncle Drew, and Shaquille O'Neal was in that movie.
Yeah, and I've heard of the movie, and I know that he was in there, but I've never seen it, Shaggy. Unfortunately, I have not.
Well, it's a good thing you have. It's a terrible movie. Actually, it's kind of a cutesy movie, but it's terrible.
I don't do cutesy.
Okay. But the thing about that movie is Shaquille O'Neal plays a very big parody of himself, being a Kung Fu master retired basketball player, much like Shaq Fu. So, this is a guy, at least from outward appearances, gets the joke that he is. Am I wrong?
No.
Okay.
First of all, I just want to ask one question before we even continue. Who gave Shaq the okay that he was okay to even be okay to act and to do these movies and to do, I don't get it.
Well, you remember how Michael Jordan was in Space Jam?
I do.
You remember how that set off this whole spree of people trying to be actor, athlete, rapper?
Yeah.
That's what did it. You can blame, actually, the career of Michael Jordan in entertainment for Shaquille O'Neal.
Well, I'm hoping that someone puts a stop to it. Love Shaquille. Sorry.
But I wanna know, though, what is it about, like, because Shaquille O'Neal, before we even talk about the latest endorsement that has got everybody going, what the hell, man? Let's talk about the other ones, because with Shaquille O'Neal, what is it that you think, being a person that is absolutely unequivocally not charmed, what is the charm of one Shaquille O'Neal to people?
That he's dorky and goofy, and he owns it, I think. He does own that. He's a big old dork ball. I applaud him in his basketball career. Big, huge fan of him in his basketball career. Wasn't a big fan of his rap career. Not a big fan of his acting career. But I think that he may be personable. And you give him an endorsement and he makes, for some reason, Shaquille brings the community, the African-American community, and everybody just wants to flop to Shaquille. And I'm thinking that might be the reason. I don't know. But him and Papa John just ain't going to do it. I know we weren't going to bring in Papa John yet, but.
No. Because now is a perfect time to bring them in. Because here's the fun story that a lot of people don't realize. Back in the 1990s, when I was working my way up through the college ranks and trying to get my radio education on, the job that I had and kept throughout the entirety of my college career was working for Papa John's. Not only was I a lead driver, a delivery driver, I actually made my way up to management. Yikes. Me and my sister both ran separate Papa John's locations. Now, the thing is back in the 1990s, when we worked for them, it wasn't so evident of former CEO and public face, or former public face, John Schneider was. Now, how much do you know about the owner of the Papa John's brand?
Now, before I go, is he the one that just recently got into some trouble? Or something, he made a comment or something happened.
Okay, like seriously, I'm going to have to stop you right there. Do you know how many white people have said stupid stuff over the last couple of weeks and got in trouble for it?
You can say that. I'm going to keep it politically correct. But he did do something though, right? Wasn't he kind of caught up? Do I have him confused with somebody else?
Well, no, you don't. In fact, this is what John Schneider got in trouble for, and this is why a guy like Shaquille O'Neal is so important. Schneider basically took to the internet and the press releases to say that, you know what, I really think that all this Colin Kaepernick kneeling protesting is bringing down NFL's ratings, and as the official pizza of the NFL, I cannot stand by and let somebody denigrate this great sport. Stand up for the anthem. That's basically what he said.
Okay, see, you know what? You just hit like a real, like, I'm going to need some apple cider vinegar real quick because this whole Kaepernick thing, listen, real quick, I just have to say this. The hell with him and anybody else who has a problem for anybody taking a knee for the national anthem. And I just want to say this to all you people who are bashing Kaepernick and anybody else who takes a knee. Understand, that whole song, you only hear the good part. If you listen to the whole song, it's a racist song. Okay? Listen to the song, then hit me up. Honey at honeyscloset.com. It's a racist song. So how do you not? And he's taking a non-violent approach for violence. For the violence against African Americans. So to me, it's saying, forget the violence against African Americans. We don't care. Stand for the national anthem. The hell with him and his pizza. And I'm going to tell you why I have an issue with Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal came out recently and said, give Donald Trump a chance. Excuse me? Give him a chance to further screw up our country? So I don't care about Shaquille O'Neal or his endorsement or Papa John's. They can all go to hell and sink in the middle of the Titanic. On top of the Titanic, in the ocean. Sorry.
I'm glad to see that you have such friendly connotations towards these two subjects, but no, seriously, I feel the same way because this is a private business basically trying to say through public opinion how another business and franchise holder should behave. This mm-hmm. is cyberbullying business owners 101.
Exactly. I agree.
Well, and here's the other thing. As long as we're talking about taking a knee during the national anthem and how racist the actual national anthem is, has anybody ever heard Lift Every Voice and Sing? That should be the anthem. Dear God.
Right. Now, I'm going to say this because I don't want somebody to come back and say, honey's a hypocrite. I'm just going to say this really quickly because there's a video of me standing for the national anthem. I do stand for the national anthem at the NASCAR race. It's a very patriotic event, the flyover, the prayer, everybody stands. Totally different thing. If NASCAR or somebody in NASCAR decided to take a knee, I would definitely sit down during the national anthem. But I do stand for the national anthem during NASCAR. Because there's a prayer and there's so much going on that it's just an amazing ceremony. I don't have a problem for people who stand, but if you want to take a knee during the national anthem to stand against injustice against African American and Browns, I have no problem with that. And I don't think anybody else should have a problem with that as well.
Well, that's just the crux of this. This was something that was done between an employee of a franchise of an organization that Papa John's was just literally sucking from the money teat off of. They had no business other than that of weighing in on what the NFL did. But as soon as Donald Trump started saying, fire the sons of bitches, throw them off the field, John Schneider jumped in to be Mr. Hey, I'm going to rescue you.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, Shaggy, but as the president of the United States, isn't it? He's not supposed to stand up and say, fire the sons of bitches. From what I heard, correct me if I'm wrong, it's almost illegal as him being president to even say something like that.
Actually, you might not be wrong there. It might have something to do with a little thing called the Riot Act. But before we get to there, let's get back to John. Because here's the thing. When Papa John himself came out and made these spurious comments about the NFL, all of a sudden, everybody said, pass, when it came to Papa John's. The sales went down, down, down low. And to make matters even worse, John Schneider himself, the leader of the brand, would not step aside in the aftermath of his comments, despite the board of directors saying, look, you're really bad for business. So here's where Shaq comes in. Shaq is the first African American, as of now, to sit on the Papa John's board of directors. He's not just going to be making this double header commercial, actually triple header commercial deal with them where it's going to net him, I didn't know this, more money than he ever made in the NBA.
Right. So,
Shaquille O'Neal has made more money from endorsements than he ever did playing ball.
Yes.
Whoa. But here's what I want to bring up, and this is something that, oh God, I hope I don't get in trouble, but luckily, you're a state away and can't throw over the Pacific Ocean. Honey, I have a really big problem with Shaquille O'Neal and Papa John's right now, and that problem is I'm afraid Papa John's is trying to blackface their problem.
Exactly. So let's go get one of the most...
Yeah. You know, Chris Rock said in CB4, or at least one of his compatriots said, I'm blacker than blacker than I'm black, y'all. That is the only reason that Shaquille got put on the board.
And Shaquille, love you, but apparently you're not smart enough to realize that. And they're using you to give Papa John's because everybody loves Shaquille. So if Shaquille is going to sponsor Papa John's and he's going to be a spokesperson, it has to be good. We're going to go spend our money with Papa John's. They're using you like the house that they okay. So
insert word here. But the thing is acting like the house servant to the cause of the white denigrators of Papa John's, this kind of puts Shaq in a weird position politically. Because here it is, in the NBA, we've had multiple people come out, especially people that have been affected by violence, and come out and say, you know, those people in the NFL, they might not be on the wrong path here with this whole social justice thing. Maybe we need to get on board with this. And then Shaq goes, nah, dog, I'm just going to go get paid. And off he went.
And you know what? It's really sad. And there's a lot of people that I actually applaud, like Jay-Z's and T.I.'s, and the list can go on of people who declined the Super Bowl halftime show because they were not going to go against what they stood for. And Shaq decides, I'm going to go. Make me a
mint
billions of dollars and just be the poster boy for Papa John's. And right now, Shaq, you're looking like the Samuel L. Jackson's character in Django.
Whoa.
Sorry.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah, the thing is, though, is you might not be wrong with this because, look, this is a disturbing trend from an advertising viewpoint for one and only one reason, and that is, honey, I'm afraid that in the future, now with this deal going through, more companies that create either social racial bias, have been found guilty of being misogynistic or racist in their practices, or even discriminatory against people of the LGBTQ community, they are going to be able to insert blank face here and basically cover it all up. So Papa John's, for example, says a lot of racist things about black people and basically says their whole struggle not to get killed by cops for being black on a sunny day isn't important enough of a national story that somebody should take a knee for. They deliberately put down the health and safety of a minority community in the United States. And then, just to make it all better, they give us Uncle Shaq.
Yeah, pretty much.
So
I wonder...
This is something I'm going to ask you, though. How comfortable are we right now as a society with letting Papa John's blackface a problem?
We shouldn't be. But you know what? Unfortunately, in this world that we live in and this day and time, money speaks for a lot of people. Money speaks. We should not be comfortable. Shaq should have stood up and said, no, sorry, can't do.
Yeah.
A lot of us should stand up and take a stand, whether it's taking a knee or just taking a stand and saying, no, you're not gonna use me as the Uncle Tom or the Auntie Tom, Tometta of your business. I'm not gonna do it. And so, you know what, Shaggy, it's a really sad time for our country.
Yeah.
It's really sad time for our country.
Because here's the thing. We have a president that denies that white supremacy is a thing and that it's on the rise, even though that last week the FBI released numbers that said yes in 2017, 2018, again, and it's looking like the trend for 2019, again, is a rise in white supremacy. As a matter of fact, the New York Post put out a story saying that, oh my God, the KKK's numbers are on the rise.
Right. And they want to say that we're oversensitive. Black people are oversensitive. It's not, no, it's not racism. Please. Please. When a little girl cannot sell water on a corner to raise money to go to Disneyland and someone calls the police on her, or a black man can't barbecue in a park, which is open to the public for his family, and we can go on and on and on. Come on. Donald Trump, and I have a lot of people on my page is going to be angry with me because they are Donald Trump supporters. Love you for who you are, but I don't like your, he's not even my president. But Donald Trump has, since he's been president and running, the racism has risen tremendously. And we know that people say it's always been here. Racism is the same as it always been. No, it's not. People are openly racism. People are openly calling you the N-word. Back in 2015, they weren't doing that. 2016, they were. People, let me tell you something. White people, they drunk them some kryptonite because they are openly saying, calling you the N-word and doing all types of horrific racist acts. I'm telling you right now, I'm waiting for the day they come to me. Shaggy, you will be putting money on my books or either putting, I'm waiting. I want somebody to say something to call me out of my name. And we're not even going to get into it. It's sad. We're living in a really, really bad times.
This is the thing, though, because I actually catch a little bit of flack for this from time to time, for I use racial derogatory terms for Caucasians, for obvious reasons. Because, you crackers, you see, you established a rule not too long ago that said you can't call somebody something unless you are that thing. And that's how a lot of people justified not using the N-word. Then all of a sudden hip-hop came around and they're like, hey, everybody's the N-word. No, yeah. No, that is not how that works. Ice Cube told Bill Maher how it works. That's the way it is. It was a bad word. The black community said, screw your meaning. We're taking it back for ourselves. This is our word now, and you can't have it back. You have hurt right. This word.
Right. A lot of people think they get a pass, though, to use it. And I'm going to say this. We shouldn't say it. We really shouldn't say it either. And they say that because you put an A in replace of the ER, it's a word of, you know, it's a compassion and, you know, it's a term of endearment. And I get it. And we're all guilty. A lot of us are guilty of using it. We should not use it, though. It should be a word that nobody uses in their vocabulary. But if you are non-black, you absolutely cannot use the word and get away with it. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people think, oh, I'm raised around blacks. I feel like I'm. You just cannot use the word, especially in this day and time. It's just a lot of people. Yeah, it's not a, do not use the word. If you're listening and you think you're black or want to be black or think you're down, do not, because not every black body black is going to support you in that word, and you're liable to catch one.
Now, this is the thing, because we're going to run out of time before we have to hit a break here in a sec. I kind of want to bring this back to Shaq, because the thing is a lot of people think that Shaq is going to be that black pass for Papa John's. He's going to give them the ability to turn ER into A, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Do we feel I'm that?
Yeah, I see what Papa John's is trying to do, And I want to say slick, 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 slick. Let me tell you something. Black people now have risen above, and they are so wise, and they are looking at things. A lot of people are going to turn. Shaq's going to lose a lot of fans.
I think so.
Shaq's going to lose a lot of fans. People are going to say, oh, Shaq, Papa John's, and they're going to start hearing things, and it's going to be research, and it's going to, yeah. I give it in a week to two times, Shaq's going to start declining. He's going to lose some fans, and Papa John's going to find them somebody else. Or find another way to do it. Or, you know, just like with Nike and Kaepernick, everybody thought Nike was going to go down. Guess what? What did Nike do?
They sold out.
Nike did it right. Nike and Kaepernick did it right. Papa John's and Shaq, you're doing it wrong. Sorry.
Well, this is the thing, though, that I got to bring up before we go to the break. And we got like about a minute left. Here's the deal. This happened before. It's happened with a company brand before. Back in the 1970s, the company that controlled, it wasn't Coca-Cola at the time. Actually, no, it was Coca-Cola. The brand Sprite. They put on this Jamaican guy, and a lot of people in, well, America were like, whoa, what is this? This is a little racist. And here's the thing. So they stopped doing the outwardly racist stuff, but yet now when you look at all of Sprite's advertising, who is their central target? How long before that happens with Papa John's?
I don't know, but I tell you what, not very. This time will tell. This is going to be very interesting. I think this is something we're going to be talking about for a while now. Mm. We're going to be watching a decline.
Yeah, I know. And the thing is that now we've actually got to take the break here in a second. So I'm going to tease a little bit of the story. Nike is, well, very famous with Shaq and Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, a bunch of other people. Would you believe that they're also the official ass-kicking shoe for lawyers this week? You'll find out exactly what I mean coming up next. It's the Shaggy Jenkins Show. Stay close.
You are listening to 60 Seconds Civics, the daily podcast of the Center for Civic Education. I'm Mark Gage. The Supreme Court has always issued written opinions explaining its decisions. Initially, each justice wrote an opinion in each case. Chief Justice John Marshall changed that practice, and since his era, the court has issued only majority, concurring, and dissenting opinions. Written opinions serve several functions. An important one is that they hold the court accountable to the people by making a public record of the decision and its rationale. Written opinions also establish a record that can serve as precedent for future cases. Some parts of the Constitution are very specific. For example, Article 1 states, "The Senate of the United States shall be composed of 2 senators from each state." Many provisions are not as clear as this one and so require interpretation. For example, the Congress shall have the power to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers. Thank you for listening to today's podcast, 60 Second Civics, where civic engagement only takes a minute.
Warning. Too much consumption of the Shaggy Jenkins Show could result in a higher IQ, a better understanding of the world, and not being called a f***ing idiot as much. It's the Shaggy Jenkins Show.
It's the Shaggy Jenkins Show on the Pacifica Radio Network. Welcome back. Where the hell have you been? If you missed anything, you can always go back and listen to the show on our website, ShaggyJenkins.com, or follow us wherever fine social media served at Shaggy Live. Joining me today from the beautiful 11th largest economy in the world. I didn't know how that happened, but they're sunny, they're funny, and they could basically secede if we let them. Please welcome from California, it's host of Honey's Closet, Val Young.
Hey!
Okay, so we got to talk a little something because this is one of the things. Ron Pertee is usually my go-to movie guy, and days like today, we usually talk about weekend box offices and how they have to do with politics and the such. But okay. Here's the one that gets me. Jordan Peele's This Is Us. Holy cow.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest horror movie opening weekend in a long time, like record shattering. And it was all black cast, black director, written by black folks. And here's the thing. Jordan says that that's an actual horror film. But the film before that, Get Out, he calls it a documentary. What do you think he meant by that?
Whoa. Now, I hate to say this. I have not seen Get Out either.
I'm going to have to put you in a dark place.
I know. I have not seen it. But Jordan Peele, kudos to you, my brother, making horror films for black people. You know we normally don't survive in them. So you are making us live and survive in horror movies. So kudos to you. You know what? Give me a little synopsis of what it was about.
Okay. Here's how it is simple.
That question. Mm-hmm.
It was white people trapping black folks to enslave them by putting other people's brains inside of them.
Oh, so it was like a little like the zombie of Roots or the Roots of Zombie.
Yeah, yeah. It's, okay. Yeah, instead of saying Kunta Kinte, it was the walking Roots.
Yeah, yeah, the zombie Roots. Okay, I see what you're going to.
But it was just basically about how white people will not accept black people unless they normalize them or somehow infiltrate them with their whiteness and give them something. It is kind of a very interesting comment because when you talk about horror film, Jordan Peele has realized something that only people like Rod Serling realized in the past. Horror is a way of communicating actual societal horror. Do you agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now I do agree. Absolutely. And now I think I can answer your question. It's a documentary because he basically told a story of how it was back in the times of slavery in the 1800s, and white people were doing just that, maybe only differently. So he told the story and put a little maybe humor maybe to it.
Scare. It was a lot of scare.
Yeah. Oh. So I'm gonna have to now do my homework and go watch that movie.
Yes, but I'm going to tell you real quick, at the end of that movie, be prepared for about 3 hours of your life to disappear as you wonder what it all meant.
So it's one of those. So he is the Rod Serling. He's the new millennium Rod Serling, huh?
Yeah, and this is the thing, because when it comes to black actors, directors, mm-hmm. and writers in Hollywood, they have been given rules over the years of where they can and cannot go. Movies they can do and things they can't do. And then Jordan Peele comes in here and says, yeah, no, we're not doing that. We're not.
No.
So is it any surprise that a guy like him right now is riding pretty high at the box office for basically shunning the system that created how box offices work?
No, because he sat back and he studied and he watched and he did his homework, and he came out and he said, he seems like one of those kind of people, and I would love to meet him and pick his brain, that I can do what they say I can't.
No. But I'm going to tell you, though, that one scene in the promo, and everybody can watch the new Twilight Zone promo. There's this one scene where right at the end of it, it flashes to him wearing Rod Serling's suit in the booth, and he just gives you this side eye, and for some strange reason, my spine just goes, nah, dog, I ain't having it. And it leaves the room. It is gone. I mean, he cuts eyes like you like, oh, damn. Like, you know?
What have I been? I'm just now hearing about this.
Ah! Okay. Well, let me tell you about another story that's not so horrible, but it does have to do a lot with how horrible people can be. Not too long ago. You're going to love this. Not too long ago, there was this unlikely champion, as it were, amongst liberal media. There was this bastion of anti-Trumpness that just seemed to go and knock the president on the chin on almost like an hourly basis on the behest and the benefit of his client.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the client was a porn star, so we should go ahead and preface that with that. The person that we're talking about is her lawyer, Stormy Daniels' lawyer, Michael Avenatti.
Mm-hmm.
Now, first impressions of him, because like I said, not too long ago, CNN, MSNBC, and everybody was down on this guy's jock strap, basically because they thought that he was the star quarterback in the anti-Trump league. He was the one that was going to run it into the end zone, but not so much. I mean, even before today's story, what did you think of Avenatti? Was he the hero that we needed?
I'm with some people saying we thought he was. We thought he's going to do this. He could possibly hit a home run. And then you start to thinking, something's got to give. What is it that's going to give? It's not happening soon enough. Something's going to give. And then lo and behold, Shaggy, what did we find out? Today, something gave.
Yeah, besides being a very terrible husband, as we found out not too long ago, people thought that was going to be the extent of it. No. It turns out that Mr. Avenatti has been arrested yesterday morning and taken to jail because he tried to extort $25 million from Nike.
From Nike. Now, I just want to ask you, what makes a man of his stature, he has to be pretty smart, right? He's this big attorney. He's one of the most popular attorneys right now. And he decides that he's going to try to extort money from Nike and think he's going to get away with it. And not only that, he brings in another home run. He brings in somebody else who's the attorney pretty much to the stars.
Yeah, the attorney du jour, Mark Garagos, has been let go of CNN and might even be disbarred because he is found to be a co-conspirator.
Why? What? You're a smart man, Shaggy. Tell me, what in God's name make these two think that they can do this and get away with it? In this day and age, what?
Well, I will reference some philosophers that I used to know quite well during the 1990s. I believe it was they that said, cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money.
A dollar bill, y'all.
That's exactly why they did it. You know that.
Okay. So, did they not think during some cornball meeting between these two, we may not get away with this because it's Nike. We may not get away with this.
Well, that's the thing.
Did they think they were going to punk Nike?
Yeah, they did. Even though that was, you know, really Reebok's kind of thing. But here's the thing. I have got to say this and just try to keep a straight face before I bust out either laughing or crying. This kind of stuff happens way more than me and you even suspect. And it has a name.
And what is that?
Okay, so online, let's say that let's have your show and my show go online and look at certain stuff, okay? And
uh-huh.
and when we go there, we have to enter in some information about ourselves. Maybe just our age, race, and location.
Okay.
Okay. Well, when we do that, they have some basic information right there. And maybe it's something stupid, like a Facebook quiz. But now they have some of your personal information. Do you know how easy it is? Through games, through little quizzes. I mean, even the Florida Man Challenge was nothing more than a sophisticated information phishing scheme. When you do that to a larger company for millions of dollars, and Google and Facebook had problems with this, where they found a Lithuanian man guilty of whaling. It's called whaling. Because instead of phishing, you go after companies. And going after companies is easy because companies are so afraid of losing their reputation. So Michael Avenatti had an easy way in with Nike. Basically, I will say something that will take $1 billion off of your market cap unless you pay me and my client, who's still unnamed publicly right now, if you pay us hush money, then we can make this go away. If you don't make this go away, bada bing, bada boom, I am going to be taking about $1 billion off of your market cap. How do you think he was going to do that? It had to be something bad.
Something ridiculously bad.
But when it comes to corporations, they are always like, it is cheaper to pay off X amount than it is to dedicate resources, times, and possible loss of public reputation behind my brand.
Well, you know what? Somebody gambled and crapped out. And you know what? I just want to add this little tidbit. Correct me if I'm wrong. Mark Geragos is the attorney for R. Kelly. Am I correct?
Yes.
So I wonder what the hell gonna. What is R like? He's losing all. Yeah. Your attorney. Yeah. When not a good day for a lot of people right now.
The thing is with Robert Kelly. By now, he could use a little bit of that Nike money himself. So, the thing is that it is going to throw a lot of cases off because, unlike Avenatti, who basically just deals with, you know, contract stuff here, a little stuff there, stuff that we don't typically talk about in the public eye until Stormy Daniels came along, Geragos was the defender for Michael Jackson, for R. Kelly. I mean,
List goes on and on.
Yeah, I think he was also Bullets. The guy that actually killed Robert something. Yeah, the guy that killed his wife, he was defended by Mark Geragos.
Now, reading the article earlier today, and you may have covered this, and forgive me if this is repetitive, but there was someone mentioned,
Avenatti, yeah.
Avenatti said he wanted, when he was asking Nike for this money or saying, you know, I'm going to do this and that, he wanted $1.5 million for a client.
That's correct. He wanted $1.5 million for the client on top of his exuberant fee right around, I don't know, he was trying to get about $25 million extrapolated from him.
So who do you think that client is?
You know, at this point, I don't know because
Stormy.
Okay, like seriously, if it's Stormy Daniels, what the hell have they been doing with their shoes? You know, they're designed for the feet, people. That's where I'm going to leave this conversation. But the thing is like Nike is one of those companies that, especially in black communities across the United States, absolutely depends on its reputation to uphold sales. Now, they already have a litany of stuff against them publicly, okay? They have been found guilty in the 1990s of running sweatshop conditions, using substandard materials in the late 1990s and early 2000s, and then, of course, with some questionable endorsements happening around the early aught-tens. So, Nike has been one of those companies that has very precariously maintained its reputation despite the fact that it keeps damaging its own reputation.
Right.
So, this is the thing. When a guy like Avenatti comes up, Avenatti, and he's like, hey, you know what? I'm going to take $1 billion off your market cap. I'm going to just destroy your business. They pretty much see that as, oh, God, if he knocks off this one little thing, imagine how much else is going to fall from the table.
Right.
So, I got to ask you, though, Val, if you were trying to get $25 million from Nike, wouldn't it be easier just to invest, say, a couple of years in maybe going to a prestigious college, working your way to the starting lineup, maybe getting a recruitment deal from a major franchise team, either in the NFL or the NBA? I mean, I'm not missing anything here. Oh, or you could just go to college and be a, you know, you didn't even got to go to college. Just be a stupid DJ and press buttons all day in front of thousands of people. Call yourself EDM. You can get a Nike endorsement.
You can get a Nike endorsement, yeah. Now, I want to say this. I don't want to bash Nike because I know a couple of people, family-wise, who are in the NBA and work for the NBA. They have Nike endorsements, so... I'm a tread lightly here,
well,
but
I'm
There are easier ways. There are easier ways to do it than the path that they are going, and it just makes you wonder, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah, because look, when it comes to Nike, I'm going to go ahead and say that I kind of have a little bit of a bias towards them, because back in the 1980s, when this town way up in Oregon had 700 people poisoned by a religious cult calling themselves the Rajneeshis, the original designer and founder of Nike was one of the guys that stood up to the Rajneeshi, so much so that even his own livelihood was threatened with violence. So,
what?
Yeah, Nike kind of maintains a little soft spot in my heart for actually trying to save hundreds of people's lives.
Yeah, I didn't know about that, but okay.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things you learn.
Well, you kind of, Nike's that one family member that comes every year to dinner or, you know, for Christmas or New Thanksgiving or something. And you just really, they get on your nerves, but you just let them in because they always bring the good potato salad.
You know, I was going to say that they, that born again criminal, they've done some shady stuff, but they found Jesus now.
They found Jesus. And they'll fall short again, and they'll find Jesus again, and they'll keep doing it. It's going to be very interesting how this all plays out in the next weeks or so. Because Michael Avenatti is still in jail, am I correct?
Yeah, as I think that he had his bail hearing, and I think he's still in as of this time. Here's the thing about him, though, because with him going down, a lot of people in the liberal media, the left side of the media, are going to have a little bit of problems because they put so much trust on this guy to be the Trump killer. And now we all have to report on him as, oh my God, he is a horrible, horrible human being.
Yeah, and now this gives all the Trump supporters something to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure Rush Limbaugh will have a great take on it later.
Oh, he's an idiot.
But this is the thing. When we talk about mobsters and stuff like that, Avenatti was always telling Donald Trump, hey, you work with that mafia cronyism, you use mafia slangs and stuff like this. But at the end of the day, old Mikey boy here, Mikey Blue Eyes, he's guilty of a good old-fashioned shakedown.
Yeah, basically. He's doing some mob type activities his own self.
So, and this
you know, that's a good thing of the pot calling the kettle black, right?
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you a question, though, because here's the thing. For the longest time, Democrats have been gearing up towards the 2020 election, and we have a lot of people out on the field that in the past have given credence to guys like Avenatti, even though now we find out, kind of an asshat. Thing is, though, is when we talk about those people, the ones that put all of their trust into personas like this, is it going to be a case whereas everybody wants to take down what they see as a mafioso type president? Are we going to have to be very comfortable with bad guys doing the dirty work in America for us?
Yeah, but don't you think we should be used to that already?
I agree with you.
We should, right? I mean, we have right now, we don't have any stability. Forget the doggone Republicans, the Democrats. There's no one there. The Democrats, to me right now, are a bunch of, I can't even say the word I want to say, but they're the words that you would call a cat.
Yeah.
A kitten. Okay? So we need to, the bad guys are all over. So we're pretty much used to it. We're pretty much, I don't think anyone is really too shocked over Avenatti. I mean, are you? I mean, not shocked. Are you surprised? Like, could you sit back and say, no, not him?
You know,
not Avenatti.
The thing is that I would love to be the kind of guy that said that I maintain some sort of wistful hopefulness of the world. But unfortunately, I think that I'm guilty of suffering something that a lot of people are. And cases like this, with Avenetti basically being found trying to extort a well-loved brand, Nike, for $25 million. And, oh, by the way, taking in every bad actor, literally, in Hollywood and the entertainment world's favorite lawyer away in Mark Garagos. Right. This is the thing. Olapaidi, I can't pronounce his name. He's Nigerian, by the way.
Okay, yes.
Yeah. Well, look, he's this journalist living in London, and he basically had the perfect term for situations like this. You say that you're not surprised by anything. You might have something that's called corruption anxiety.
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to tell you what keeps me pretty sane when it comes to politics. And for all you political people out there, please don't throw darts at me. But I stay away from Fox, CNN, any channel, anything to do with Trump. I learn it from when I watch you, Shaggy, or Chris Bass, or Lee Michaels. I stay away because I refuse to put any type of emotion, any type of belief into politicians. I don't believe in them. I don't think that there is one politician that's completely perfect. I think that we are all crazy when we just sit here and think, oh, he's going to do it for us. There's not that person out there. So, no. Yeah. But you're right. I think a lot of us are suffering from that. We ought to add that to the disorders out there. That's definitely.
Yeah, the thing is that with corruption anxiety, this is a patent belief that no matter what system of government you live in, that system of government is being manipulated merely for the benefit and solely for the upkeep of the rich and powerful. In other words, no matter where you are in the totem pole, the crap is still running down. So, with corruption anxiety kind of as the forefront of this whole week of news, can we say that when a story like Avenetti comes out, when a story like Donald Trump, and this is the thing, there's other stories going, you know what, Bob Barr, the guy, the attorney general that just released that summary, you really shouldn't trust the summary. But is that a legitimate thing given Bob Barr's comments in the past about saying that this was indeed a witch hunt that he would try to delegitimize? Or is this in fact corruption anxiety? You see, we've gotten corruption anxiety so much in America, it's hard to look at stories like the Nike story and pick a good person. Am I missing the bat here?
You're on point. Absolutely on point. And I'm curious to see if this corruption anxiety you're going to hear about this more and more now. People are going to start claiming they have corruption anxiety.
Well, the thing about corruption anxiety is we've had it already in American history. Not too long ago, it led to the creation of and the widespread influence of the Republicans' Tea Party. It permeated through Trump's base until, oh God, we have Trump's base now. And the thing is when it comes to corruption anxiety, it always plays in to a larger movement on both sides of the political aisle. For corruption anxiety sufferers, not too long ago, they reacted by doing the Occupy Wall Street thing. So when we talk about all of the corruption-based anxieties in the United States, Val, simple question, are we more afraid of the things that could happen, or are we actually guilty of being in bad things happening?
Oh, wow. I think it just depends. I think there's a majority of people that are afraid of things that are going to happen, and there are some definitely, I think you can divide that. I absolutely do. I stand on the side of I'm afraid of the things that can happen.
You know,
I'm petrified of the things that can happen.
But that's just it. Fear, and according to my good friend Apollo, was false events appearing real. This is the quintessential human reaction to unknowns. We have to have, in our weird little way, everything as a known variable. So when things are unknown to us, we invent facts to fill in the blank. And what they're saying is when it comes to this corruption anxiety, this is literally the anxiety that is driving the rise of white supremacy, the marginalization against women and minorities, the absolute downplaying and making illegal the lifestyles of people in the LGBTQ community, and, oh, by the way, trying to rewrite science and saying that transgender is something that doesn't happen. And you know what? That's where we've got to leave the show. Do you have any closing thoughts on any of this stuff, Val?
I'm just curious to know how ironic it is that all this came out exactly on point when Trump was found not to be in corruption with Russia. That's what he should
do. Yeah, yeah. And that's going to be the end of our show. Until next week, hey, make sure you check out Honey's Closet on the Power of Voice. And come back here next time. Love you, mean it. Gaten, bye.